I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker up there. I will do my normal hour next hour. We'll do False Flag Friday. The Wall Street warmongers are hard at it on a couple of different fronts, so we'll take a look at that, and then we'll finish up, as we always do, with my clip of Palooza and this week on the crazy train. Looking at my list, there's a lot, as there always is. I woke up this morning to the Today Show. I tried to sleep a little late, catch a little bit of local news, see what the weather is, know how to dress. Apparently, it's winter, has been winter in the mornings and spring in the afternoons. So it's actually a pretty good stretch of weather, but I accidentally left the television on for the Today Show when it came on. You're not going to believe this, but there's a new variant out there. They were talking about this Omicron variant, and it was just breathless coverage. I've got all of these clips showing it is absolutely nothing. This thing is just a giant nothing. And Today Show's first urgent warnings to all of us was it's now in 5 states. I said yesterday that I guess on Wednesday we had one case. And yesterday, they had found a second case. So I'm sure the headlines, I didn't see them anywhere. But, that's a doubling in 24 hours. And now with 5 cases, we went up to from 2 to 5 in 2 days. That's a 150% increase in just another 24 hours. It's going exponential. Anyway, it's to the point of being absurd. It was actually almost humorous. Usually the news puts me in a bad mood, but this was them flailing so hard against this ridiculous variant. There is a risk out there of a scratchy throat. Careful out there, people. Scratchy throat alert. Woo. Well, we're an interesting society now, to say the least. I'm also going to get into in just a little bit here. We'll get into what could be Fight Club Friday. I keep asking for people, when you disagree with me on anything, I'm ready to hear for you. I'm ready to duke it out. I'm ready to debate. I love doing those kinds of things. But I ran across an article asking why Donald Trump, I think the headline is something along the lines of, why does Donald Trump get a hall pass when it comes to the vaccines? And I'm going to go through some of the story. It's kind of, because it's a question I have been asking now for, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months. It was just some interesting observations and quotes in this story. So if there are Trump supporters out there, you need to call and set me straight. Please do in the second half of this hour, because I want to understand why Trump gets a pass on what I believe is absolutely the biggest issue in America right now. Quotes of the day today. Alex Berenson, former New York Times reporter that's been doing a lot of stuff on COVID and on the shots, has written a piece. And here's just a chunk of it. He said, German physicians and scientists reported Monday that not a single healthy child between the ages of 5 and 18 died of COVID in Germany in the first 15 months of the epidemic. Not one. The findings in a nutshell, if you let your healthy child or teenager receive the mRNA COVID vaccine, you are insane. That's Alex Berenson. This is a quote from Dr. Sabi. I believe I've read this one before, but it bears repeating with the content that we'll have in the show today. A society that keeps cures a secret so they can continue to sell medication for huge profits is not a real society, but a huge mental asylum. A society that keeps cures a secret so they can continue to sell medication for huge profits is not a real society, but a huge mental asylum. And then this is a meme that's going around. When a package of lettuce makes three people sick, there's a nationwide recall. When vaccines maim and murder tens of thousands, they just mandate you take it even more. And the title of this was, Do You Get It Yet? Yesterday it was interesting. I read to you, may have been the end of last week. We're in this bizarre time warp. I can't believe that 2021 is almost over. As I continually observe, portions of the year can go by so slow, but the year in its totality can go by so fast. We're almost out of this. But I think it was last week when we first looked at this study that had come out on the American Heart Association website and was reprinted where I found it on Cardiology Advisor, and an industry website for cardiology, that they were having problems with the testing that they had done to find that people had dramatically increased risk of acute coronary syndrome or heart attacks after the shot. Again, this was on the American Heart Association website, reprinted in Cardiology Advisor. Twitter, in response to this research that was done, and again, appeared on the American Heart Association website, Twitter has slapped a, quote, unsafe link, unquote, warning on a study from the American Heart Association which found that mRNA vaccines dramatically increased risk of developing heart disease from 11% to 25%. Twitter, and so I actually went through it. I wanted to see exactly what it is. I don't do a lot of social media, so I've never been in jail. I've never had anything flagged because I don't post. But I wanted to see what it was, so I clicked on this study again on the American Heart Association website, and here's what you get. It says, the link you are trying to access has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially spammy or unsafe. In accordance with Twitter's URL policy, this link could fall into any of the below categories. First one, malicious links that could steal personal information or harm electronic devices. Spammy links that mislead people or disrupt their experience. Violent or misleading content that could lead to real-world harm. Or certain categories of content that, if posted directly on Twitter, are a violation of the Twitter rules. And then it gives you a link to go back to the previous page. You could continue on to, again, the American Heart Association website. Twitter trying to protect us from a website that I can only imagine has been in existence for decades now with absolutely no problems. But as soon as there is a report published on that website, contrary to the main narratives of safe and effective, then Twitter tells you, run away. It's a dangerous website. Check this out. Here's your FDA at work, your taxpayer dollars being spent so well at the FDA level. The FDA's excruciatingly slow release of data related to Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine has already borne fruit, and it's damning despite a trickle of just 500 pages per month out of 329,000 pages, which will take until 2076 to complete. We've talked about that. The FDA wants 55 years to release all of the data. You know, they're so transparent and everything. They want 55 years. These are in a file. You could just data dump it immediately. I guess you'd have to use a Dropbox type thing. That's a lot of files. You can't just email this, but this was in response to a FOIA request. Reminds me a lot of if you've been in the court system, you've had transcripts of either depositions or of court testimony, the court charges you something like $3 a page. This is something that's just sitting in a digital file somewhere that they could just email you. But instead, they charge you, and if you have any period of time, if it's a long deposition or a long trial, I think I needed transcripts from about a day and a half trial at one point. I believe the tab on it was something like $1,200. This is just a digital file sitting on somebody's computer, but the court system feels that, you know, there's nobody out there copying these things. They're not hand transcribing. They don't have to do illustrations for me or anything, but anyway. So the FDA wanted 55 years, as first reported by Kylie Becker. There were a total of, this is information that is coming out from Pfizer and the FDA's own research. And remember, at the end of listening to these numbers, the FDA made the decision after seeing these numbers, because these are the files that are coming from the FDA about Pfizer's approval. After they heard these and read these numbers and parsed through them, your crack team at the FDA said, yeah, sounds good. Boom, stamp of approval. There were a total of 42,086 case reports for adverse reactions. This is in the abbreviated trial of the Pfizer vaccine. 25,379 medically confirmed, 16,707 non-medically confirmed, spanning 158,893 total events. More than 25,000 of these events, these are again in the abbreviated Pfizer trials, more than 25,000 of these events were classified as, quote, nervous system disorders. And the FDA said, nothing to see here. Let's get this thing out in the market. 42,086 cases of adverse reactions, 25,000 of those nervous system disorders. And they approved this thing. There's a reason that they wanted 55 years to get all this information out. But with every little data dump of 500 pages, I mean, you got to think. If this information is coming out of the first couple of releases of the first 1,000 of 329,000 pages, they got to be leading with the better stuff if they're trying to draw this out so that people can't see what a crime has been committed at the FDA and Pfizer level. You would think that they would kind of slow pedal some of the first stuff out. If this is the stuff they're not scared to release, heaven knows what's actually in those things. I guess I'll go ahead and play this one clip. I want you to listen to this. This is Chris Martinson. He's a financial guy, done a lot of stuff on COVID, but he's done a lot of things on the economy over the years as well. Now, he was reporting on an earnings call or an earnings release from, what is this company called? They're called SC Service Corporation, I believe. And they have funeral homes, burial services. And for them, business is booming. Now, you might think, well, of course, Mike, in the age of COVID and them stacking bodies like cordwood outside the hospitals like we see on the news. But when you listen to him read this quarterly earnings, pay attention to one of the last lines in it.
We saw an unexpected surge in COVID and non-COVID mortality that began in August has continued into October. Therefore, we are seeing funeral volumes and cemetery revenues that have exceeded our previous expectations. We generated adjusted earnings per share of $1.16. That's a 47% increase over the prior year quarter. Quote, overall, the funeral segment performed better than they expected. Continued strong volumes from the Delta variant COVID impact and from excess non-COVID deaths, which tended to skew younger and were more pronounced in smaller markets.
Ah, how about that? So the funeral and burial business is doing great because they've had this spike of increased deaths, non-COVID deaths, particularly in younger people. Well, I guess these kinds of things are always good for somebody, and the funeral industry is booming. Let that be a little piece of investment advice for you. I've told you, if you want to tell your children to get into a good solid career, make a lot of money, and have true longevity, I believe going into cardiology is going to be a great move at this point. And if you're looking to buy a stock, make a little bit of money in the market these days, look for your funeral homes and burial services. They're going to be knocking the cover off the ball, it appears. Be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do.
All right, so if anybody wants to call up and explain to me in a Friday Fight Club segment, of why I seem to have been the only person kind of asking this question on conservative talk radio, and I think it's a question worth asking. I don't avoid any topics because of partisanship or personalities, because I don't do that stuff. I just kind of look at the news and things that are going on. I talk about things that I think are not covered on other places, and I guess I ask questions that other people won't ask. And my question has been, why is Trump's feet not being held to the fire by Trump supporters, largely many who see through the incredible damage that this shot is doing? And I ran across a piece by a guy named Leo Hohmann, H-O-H-M-A-N-N. And I'll tell you a little bit about him, just so you know, this was not a column that appeared on the Daily Beast, or, you know, obviously this wasn't from a left-wing publication, because, I mean, they seem to love the shot. Leo Hohmann is a veteran investigative reporter and author whose recent book, Stealth Invasion, spent the majority of 2017 among Amazon.com's 10 books on immigration. He spent decades researching and writing about education, immigration, crime, politics, and religion. He's had stuff published on WorldNet Daily, Front Page, LifeSite, Zero Hedge, Drudge Report, Citizens Free Press. So this guy is kind of he appears to be a conservative columnist. Says he goes where the facts take him. He doesn't like to do, what does he say here? His mission has always been to fearlessly report truths about the great issues of our time and connect the dots wherever they may lead. He also seeks to report issues in historical context so his readers can grasp the greater meaning of the daily news. So this is no radical left-wing smear job Trump guy, and he obviously writes a lot about immigration, so he wrote a piece called Why is Trump Given a Hall Pass on Killer Injections? His opening paragraph is, the, quote, vaccines, unquote, now being forced on the global population are shaping up to be perhaps the most successful eugenics program in human history, and the scam of the century is that these shots are being sold as a treatment that will keep you healthy, wink, wink. And he goes on to talk about, he links to the video that we played here a couple of weeks ago, this, how the narrative on the vaccines has morphed from get this shot and you can take off your mask and move about, this is the wonder drug, to, well, you need to keep the mask on, you need to socially distance, well, maybe it wanes, well, maybe we don't know, all the way to the CDC director saying, well, it turns out our people from Israel are telling us that if you get this shot, you are more likely to get more serious disease. It's a great supercut of the way that the narrative around the vaccines has morphed, yet still the overarching message of the entire thing is rush out. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your health is, doesn't matter any conditions, doesn't matter what brand, just rush out there and get your shot, get your shot, get your shot, get your shot, and now get your booster and your second booster. UK is up to 4 shots now. So this Leo Hohmann writes in his piece, and this is what I'm really seeking to understand, because I see so many people giving Trump a complete pass on this thing. And the talking point is, well, yes, I disagree with him on that one issue. That one issue. It's the issue right now. It may be one of the biggest issues to ever face humankind. It's not a small thing. Some people didn't like his take on criminal justice reform. I think parts of that were good. It's not really the issue that I had with Donald Trump, but I can understand saying, well, I think Trump was great for us overall. I didn't really like his criminal reform, or, you know, some issue like that that's a little bit on the periphery. But the idea that, well, I still love Trump, I want him back in 2024, except for this one issue, you know, this mass experimentation on all of humankind. Here's what Leo Hohmann writes. He says, yet for some reason, former President Trump continues to promote the vaccine as though it's a wonder drug sent from heaven upon him placing a personal takeout order. Trump says it's, quote, a great vaccine and thinks everyone should get it. Not coincidentally, this is Leo Holman writing this, not coincidentally, it was Trump's administration that ordered the first debilitating lockdowns in 2020, an unprecedented affair that saw churches and small businesses declared non-essential and shuttered while big box stores and online giant Amazon profited greatly. Today's supply chain problems can be traced back to those lockdowns. The typical development schedule for a vaccine is 10 years, but Trump brags about how several stages of testing were skipped so that the COVID shots could be delivered from Big Pharma into Americans' arms within months, not years. And again, this is Leo Holman writing this, so I ask, why is it that Trump gets let off the hook for not only setting what amounts to a globalized eugenics program in motion with his Operation Warp Speed, but now he continues to try to sell these same experimental gene-altering injections to his supporters as safe and effective? Since leaving office, Donald Trump has repeatedly encouraged his supporters to receive the mRNA shots offered by Pfizer and Moderna or the viral vector DNA injections offered by Johnson & Johnson. And we'll get down into, I'm going to take a break here, and get down into some of the quotes that have come from Donald Trump just over the last couple of months. So my question to you, should you want to call in, 601-879-0002, why is it that this is something we're supposed to just overlook? Something that we're supposed to just disregard and then begin the chant again to make America great and put your red hats back on and try to get this man reelected at, what, 79 years old in 2024? This is the issue of the day. Because the shot's not only just in their failure to control the disease, not only in their damage that they've done to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, not even to the athletes that are dropping on sports fields around the world, but they're also being used and coerced into people. They've cost people their jobs, and now there are places where people are locked down. They are under martial law if they don't take this Operation Warp Speed jab. So what is it that compels people to try to just act like, well, that's just one issue that Trump got wrong, but everything else he was great on, so I want him back in 2024. You can call in and tell me that next segment. Be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I know a lot of new people have come to WYAB with the other WGOP radio stations really just pushing the jab and anything that comes out of Thomas Dobbs' mouth. So just a little bit of context, because we don't talk about Trump much since the elections. I mean, obviously, the focus now is on the disaster that is Joe Biden and his administration. But I voted for Donald Trump in 2016, first of the two major party candidates I'd voted for probably in 15 years because of some of his campaign rhetoric. I began to get a little worried when I saw him load up his administration with about 12 Goldman Sachs guys, a Goldman Sachs guy running his national economic policy, and Gary Cohn. And it went downhill from there as he hired John Bolton, William Barr. Trump surrounded himself with the swamp, which I constantly called out here. Christopher Wray, I was told I just didn't understand what he was doing. He was doing some kind of a jiu-jitsu move on the deep state. Now with Q, even Mike Flynn and Lynn Wood putting out an audio saying that Q was complete garbage and a CIA psyop on people. I'm curious to know if Donald Trump still has this hold, this power over people, and I want to know why conservatives and many people I know who are really energized against these shots, these experiments, still want to see Donald Trump return to the White House in 2024, if not sooner. Because if hiring the swamp was not disqualifying enough, there's a lot of people who say, well, he just got duped. He got duped into pushing this vaccine. Well, he's still doing it. Is he still being duped? And if he's that easily duped in the face of all of the information that you and I have, you got to assume that he and his team of advisors certainly are catching wind of open VAERS, of the athletes dropping, of all these other consequences of these experimental shots, not to mention the stuff we're seeing out of Pfizer and the FDA now, showing all the adverse events that were in this rapid approval process as a part of Operation Warp Speed. Why does this not completely disqualify Donald Trump from ever holding any office? He probably should leave the country. And so I'm referring to this Leo Homan piece, a conservative reporter who's asking why Donald Trump gets a hall pass on the coronavirus vaccines. In his piece, he says Trump claims to be the premier champion of America First policies. I've yet to hear a single reporter from the left or the right ask him to explain how it helps America to shoot experimental gene-based, quoted, vaccines, which the chief medical officer of Moderna compared to a computer operating system, into the bodies of every man, woman, and child. Illegal immigration, a serious problem Trump likes to talk about, and rightly so, could destroy the United States as a sovereign nation over a couple of decades. These vaccines have the potential to destroy our country in a couple of years. They are clearly a genocidal bioweapon being waged by globalists against the Western democracies in preparation for the Great Reset. And this is him asking it. So he goes through and he's got some quotes here on that Trump has given just over the past, you know, couple of months to weeks. Went to Fox News, Maria Bartiromo, quote, "It's a great vaccine. It's a safe vaccine." That was back in March. Okay, March. Mike, you couldn't have known back in March. He said, quote, "I would recommend it to a lot of people who don't want to get it. And a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. We have our freedoms, but it's a great vaccine. It's a safe vaccine." Talking to Sean Hannity, he said, that's the word. Let's see. Quote, "A lot of our people don't want to take the vaccines. You know, I don't know what this is exactly. Republicans don't know what it is. I encourage them to take it." Hannity then asked Trump if he received the injection. Quote, "Yes, I did. I had it," COVID he means, "and I took it," meaning the vaccine. When he was asked about the pausing of J&J, because they were young people experiencing clotting issues after it, and they paused the J&J vaccine, what did Trump say about that? He said, that's the worst thing the FDA could have done, was to pause the J&J after finding blood clots. To the New York Post, it's pretty amazing stuff. If we didn't have the vaccine, it would have been just like the 1918 Spanish flu. The vaccine is a great thing, and people should take advantage of it. Nobody should be forced. We have our freedoms, but I strongly recommend it because it's a real lifesaver. And this is Donald Trump. He did a campaign stop in Alabama. And this is really primarily the only reason I'm even talking about it. There have been several campaign stops, and it does look like Trump's going to be running again in 2024. And people who really don't like this Orwellian system of forcing people to get this shot are lining up to vote for this guy again, and I don't get it.
So, well, India's being decimated right now. We did a great job on that. The ventilators, the equipment that we got, the cupboards were all bare, everything that we did. And then we developed a vaccine, three vaccines in 3 months, in 9 months. And actually, I'll tell you, it was 3 days less, 3 days less than 9 months. And it's great. And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms, but I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay?
I mean, it's a stand-up routine to him. It's just it's a funny little thing. I mean, you know, people are losing their jobs because they don't want to be experimented on, and we've got VAERS reporting over 19,000 deaths right now, largely unreported, obviously, and we've got people who are being locked into their homes if they don't take this experimental shot that was rushed at them at warp speed and they have hesitancy towards and everything. But it's just good comedy fodder for Trump and his campaign stuff. It's just, you know, you got your freedoms, but I mean, take it. Well, you know, it's a joke here and there.
I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working. But you do have your freedoms. You have to maintain that. You have to maintain that. And you got to get your kids back to school. And the mask issue is interesting because Fauci said Masks are bad, and now he's a radical masker. Now he wants you to wear...
Now, again, this is very interesting. This is the employee, Anthony Fauci, that could have been terminated by Donald Trump long ago once he saw the direction that this was taking and lockdowns and mask mandates and the closure of churches and schools. But instead, we still have Anthony Fauci today because he was not terminated during the Trump presidency. So this just leads to my question. Why is Donald Trump given a pass on this shot? It is one of the more astounding things I've seen in a sea of astounding things. When I look at people still wearing cloth masks everywhere they go, in their cars, in the parking lot, outside. And I say, how have they not caught on yet? How have they not seen these things? As they take these shots, as they fail, as the boosters roll out, there's so many astounding things I see. How can people not see these things? Well, this is just one of those things. Well, I disagree with Trump on the vaccines, but we need him back. Now, would Donald Trump be a better president right now than Joe Biden? Of course. But boy, you can't set the bar any lower than that. Was Donald Trump a better choice in 2016 than Hillary Clinton? Of course. Again, you cannot have a lower possible bar than that. Here is another quote. This is from September. A lot of data in by September on these shots, both in the fact that they had completely failed in Israel, in Germany, in Great Britain. If Trump is paying any attention, he's got this team of advisors. I mean, the guy doesn't even really have to read if he doesn't want to. Certainly, he's got someone around him telling him that, hey, look at this over in Great Britain. The majority of people who are in the hospitals right now for COVID are actually vaxxed. But in September, he's still out hawking these things. And so let's see what he said in September. He said, I'm a strong believer you wouldn't have a vaccine if it wasn't for me. And please, I love our people, so I want our people to take the vaccines. This is September from Donald Trump. Got a caller in line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I didn't hear the whole show, but I think the reason people give Trump a pass on the vaccine is that, well, Trump's not the president right now, and people know that the election was stolen from Trump, so they're willing to say that, well, let's give this guy a break. Now, had he still been president and was aware of all the evidence that we now see about this vaccine, Trump might very well say, hey, this isn't working. There's something wrong. We don't know. We don't know his reaction.
Well, why wouldn't he say that now? He's not even in office. He's not. I mean, I assume he's not having to take money from the pharmaceutical companies, which he did when he was president. So isn't this opportunity to be the outsider and say, oh, wow, big swing and a miss? Or is it his ego that...
If he were to say it now, would it be reported, do you think?
Absolutely.
I wonder if he'd have a forum to be able to say such a thing.
Oh, absolutely. He can go on Sean Hannity anytime he wants to. He's got, any conservative talk show host out there is dying for a Trump interview. He could go on Hannity tonight and say, we've made a big mistake. This thing is hurting a lot of people. It's not working. Now they're trying to get you to get boosters. Run away, run away, run away.
No, I mean, I'm not ruling out that he might not say that.
Well, I think it's long past time.
The man was cheated so badly in this last election that I'm willing to, at least I believe this. I believe that if you could get to him or someone could get to him with the facts about all this, I think you'd have a chance of Trump, were he the president, saying, hey, this isn't working, something's wrong.
But what does it say about him?
Never happened with the current regime, never.
What does it say about him, either as a human being with any level of intellectual curiosity or the team of advisors he's still got around him up to today, that it would take me or somebody like me to talk to him? He can't see this? He's not curious enough to look at the myriad of independent journalists out there that are reporting on the tragedy that is this shot? And the election is totally a separate issue because he wants to run again in 2024, and people are lining up. They're excited about the idea that it's going to be a triumphant return to this person who rolled this thing out and up to and including today so far has only said it's safe and effective and you need to go get this shot. He wants your vote again in 2024.
Well, I don't know. I just I have some feelings of sympathy to him, and I have a feeling that I I somehow in my heart, I feel like he's a reasonable, rational man. Now, why he's not done what you say, I don't know. I haven't. I'd like to speak to him. I'd like to find out. I mean, maybe you could write to him, or maybe I will. Let's see.
Yeah, well, if you get a response that says anything that's interesting, let me know. I just, you know, this is not a hard topic. He is taking credit for rushing an experimental shot out on people. I mean, this is just on its face in the history of medicine here. You do not rush out a shot, a brand new technological shot out there. And now we're seeing what Pfizer was even seeing in the abbreviated trials they did, tens of thousands of severe reactions to this thing. And the FDA, he spends his time not getting the FDA to rubber stamp ivermectin, not spending his time getting the FDA to rubber stamp hydroxychloroquine. If he had this great sway on the FDA and could use the bully pulpit that he had to get something approved, why wasn't he working on them with ivermectin instead of an experimental gene therapy?
Well, I mean, he's not a scientist, as I hate to use the
I'm
word
not either.
Science now.
I'm not either.
Trump is not a scientist. He's surrounded by people like Fauci at the time, who told him that this was the right thing to do. He's surrounded by all these brilliant PhDs in biochemistry and virology and whatnot, MDs, and they're saying, this is what you've got to do. He's a guy who builds buildings. What's he going to say? No, I think you're all wrong. Well, maybe they're all lying to him. But you've got to trust your experts. How long did we have a vaccine during the Trump presidency? I mean, Trump was only president up until January 6th, so was the thing even out by then? Was it out 3, 4, 5 months, maybe?
Yes. Well, they announced the approval of it right after his election, which everybody sees as something. But, you know, it's so funny to me. The FDA might have been playing political games to wait till after the election to get this thing done. The sick thing is that his voters don't want this thing anyway. I mean, he's going retroactively back to take credit for this thing. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't quite get why this is a blind spot for people, and it seems like everybody wants to make excuses. You say he's not a scientist. I'm not either. This is not a difficult one. You can look at VAERS and understand that they stopped the vaccine program back in, I think it was 77, when 53 people died. We've got 19,000 people dying right now, as reported on VAERS, which we know is an undercount, and he's still hawking this thing. I'm not a scientist. This is just not hard to research and understand. We got a problem here. It's not difficult to see that Israel is showing that the thing fails. It is not difficult to listen to the CDC director. I would assume somebody in the Trump camp listens to the CDC director, like all of us normies out here, and heard her say, data from Israel shows that if you get the vaccine, you are more at risk for more serious disease. He didn't hear that?
Well, I guess I haven't really been focused on what Trump's saying. I really don't hear much from him. I don't see where he's in the news that much. So I was really unaware of all that Trump is saying. I mean, he is given to grandstanding a bit. So, you know, he's going to jump out in front of the parade. If, hey, I did this, it's a great thing.
Yeah. Well,
that's, you know, I've seen that even in local politics,
so,
unfortunately.
Would you vote for Donald Trump again in 2024?
I'd consider it. Depends who his opponent was.
Yeah.
If his opponent's Joe Biden, certainly I would. If his opponent's Kamala Harris, I would. Any Democrat, I would vote against.
Would it be an enthusiastic vote? Do you think that him coming back would be the best thing for the United States in 2024 out of all the people that we know that could run?
Well, I'm sure there's always someone better. Sure, there's someone better than Trump.
All right. Well, hey, got to jump to a break, but I certainly do appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
Okay,
bye-bye. All right, quick break. Be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place if you're trying to get out. Follow me.
All right, we're going to move on to some other stuff next hour, but I know this stuff's not popular. I'm just curious. I'm Always interested to get inside of the head of the mask wearer, inside the head of someone who would offer their children up to these shots that don't work, that are dangerous, and inside the head of people who just say, well, you know, I mean, Trump was grabbing. I think there were 1,000 things in the Trump presidency that are disqualifying for my ever having my enthusiastic support. Should he run against Joe Biden? I don't know. Maybe I could pull the trigger. It would depend on if there's any other third-party candidate that I would be able to sleep better speaking for. But William Barr, Christopher Wray, Alexander Acosta. I mean, he surrounded himself with the swamp. And there's always been this idea. There was, for the longest time, there was this, I just didn't understand. He was doing things behind the scenes. The election was a sting operation. There's watermarks. I mean, up to and including today, there are still people, I think, that think that there's things going on behind the scenes that Trump has set in motion that is going to come in and save us all. I am not seeing them, and I think people refuse to admit that we came out of the Trump presidency in 2020 in the worst shape the United States has been in modern times. I think that's something to worry about.
Yeah! What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing!
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday from 10, for a segment or two. I've been dedicating a segment really to U.S. foreign policy stuff. It's certainly not talked about much these days, but things are still going on. And one great benefit of the Trump presidency was conservatives and Republicans got a little more suspicious of our foreign policy, got a little more, like, Trump gave people cover to come out against these endless wars. I don't know why people couldn't do it on their own back in 2010 when they saw that these things were accomplishing nothing and really just feeding the Wall Street warmongers. But to Trump's great credit, he did wake up a lot of people on foreign policy stuff. And so these kinds of things are still going on. They went on during the Trump administration. I mean, he hired John Bolton, for God's sakes, and put a Raytheon guy in charge of the Defense Department. So not much changed. But there's a quote of the day today. This is German cabinet minister Andreas von Bülow. He said, when in doubt, it's always worthwhile to take a look at a map. Where are the raw materials, resources, and the routes to them? Then lay a map of civil wars and conflicts on top of that. They coincide. The same is the case with the third map, nodal points of the drug trade. Where this all comes together, the American intelligence services are not far away. And that's right. It's about resources. It's about power. It's about drugs. It's about everything except for American safety when it comes to U.S. foreign policy. And people now, rightfully, are a little more suspicious of their intelligence agencies and the FBI and all of these organizations that you realize haven't been serving the American people. They've been serving the elites. They're like a Praetorian guard of these places. And here's a good illustration of that. This is a story that was on Zero Hedge. Remember in 2009 how an internal investigation into child pornography revealed hundreds of civilian and military employees of the DOD, that's the Department of Defense, had bought child porn, yet only a handful of cases were prosecuted? Just think about it. In 2009, hundreds of civilian and military employees in the Department of Defense had been caught purchasing child porn. I got to say it again. This is the department that conservatives have been just cheering for lavishing with just hundreds of billions of dollars. Every time a Republican comes out and talks to you about increasing defense spending, people clap wildly. These are the people that you're cheering for. 9 years later, an internal investigation revealed that, quote, an untold number of Department of Defense employees and contractors have subscriptions to child pornography websites. I assume those are probably taxpayer paid. Now, BuzzFeed News reports that the CIA has, quote, secretly amassed credible evidence that at least 10 of its employees and contractors committed sexual crimes involving children. Yet while most of the cases were referred to U.S. attorneys for prosecution, only one of the individuals was ever charged with a crime. And the rest were sent back to the CIA to be handled internally, which meant that few faced any consequences. So this is This is some of the people out there running U.S. foreign policy. I guess you have to be wildly compromised to be involved in a lot of the things we're getting involved with. Here's a good consequence of the way U.S. foreign policy is handled through every single administration. Certainly during the Biden administration, during the Trump administration, Obama, Bush, it just goes on and on and on. They talk about making sure that America is safe, right? Their first, every president says, my first responsibility is to make sure that the people of the United States are safe. National security. What could possibly be a bigger national security threat to our country than an alliance between Russia and China, the next two biggest military powers on the planet? This is a story just from this week. Russia's defense chief on Tuesday signed a roadmap for closer military ties with China, pointing to increasingly frequent U.S. strategic bomber flights near both countries' borders. During a video call, Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu and his Chinese counterpart, Wei Feng, quote, expressed a shared interest in stepping up strategic military exercises and joint patrols by Russia and China. China and Russia have been strategic partners for many years. Today, in conditions of increasing geopolitical turbulence and growing conflict potential in various parts of the world, the development of our interaction is especially relevant. The Chinese military guy pointed to an increasingly intensive flights by the U.S. strategic bombers near Russian borders, saying that there were 30 such missions over the past month alone. Quote, this month during U.S. Global Thunder and Strategic Force exercise, 10 strategic bombers practiced the scenario of using nuclear weapons against Russia practically simultaneously from the western and eastern directions. So this is the consequence of this idea that the United States is the policeman of the world, that we're out there spreading democracy. That's what they say. And we have actually taken these two powers that are not necessarily, even though geographically they are close to each other, they're not simpatico on a lot of things. Russia is not the old Soviet Union. Russia and the United States are actually natural allies. Russia becoming a very westernized country, a lot of Christian base in Russia now. We could have made nicey-nice with them. Of course, the media, and particularly the left, led the charge on this, but there's Wall Street warmongers on both sides. And during the Trump administration, even, as one of the reasons I voted for Trump in 2016, he said, why wouldn't we be friends with Russia? I ran to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. Then during the Trump presidency, he hired the worst of the worst, and suddenly we were throwing sanctions at Russia every time they looked around. They are trying to stoke more war stuff, too. I don't know if you've heard the headlines. Russia's amassed 100,000 people on the side of the Ukraine border. Today, I read it was just 50,000. That came from somebody actually in Ukraine. But the Wall Street warmongers, and one of the nastiest of them all, who was unfortunately hired by the Trump administration, John Bolton, is writing about this and trying to foment another altercation. Quote, the Kremlin's wider perspective, Bolton charges, is exemplified by its increases in Black Sea naval drills and rising complaints about the U.S. Navy's provocative presence there. Black Sea dominance, this is John Bolton talking. Black Sea dominance would threaten not only Ukraine, but also Georgia, intimidate NATO members, Bulgaria and Romania, and induce against Erdogan's increasingly erratic Turkey. So according to John Bolton, according to Bolton, Moscow's determination to regard the Black Sea as an essential part of Russia's security zone is definitive evidence of aggressive intent. But Washington's repeated willingness to send its air and naval forces 6,000 miles from home to conduct war games in the same body of water is not in any way provocative or aggressive. The Black Sea is on Russia's border, and they want to guard it. That's seen as aggressive, but when we send our ships 6,000 miles over into the Black Sea and conduct naval and air drills simulating a nuclear attack on Russia, that's fine. That's not provocative at all. That's not aggressive at all. It is a huge hurdle mentally for people to leap through to even begin to believe these kinds of things, and Ukraine is the flashpoint. If you go out and you pull out a globe I guess I need to find it. I don't have a great platform for sharing things. I don't do social media. I need to set up a website. I've kind of tinkered around with starting something so I could share some of these things. But what you really need to look at is when it comes to Ukraine, every time you hear, you know, Trump gave lethal aid to Ukraine to fight off those rascally Russians. There's the funny thing. There was a headline out where somebody in Ukraine said that they have uncovered a plot of a coup planned by Russia against Ukraine. I know, again, we're not talking about these things anymore. It's all COVID and these kinds of things. But it was just kind of humorous to me that we should be on guard of this Russian coup, knowing that, what year was it? Was it 2014, 2011? I can't remember exactly the year that the U.S. pulled off a coup in Ukraine. We ousted their elected leader there and put in a puppet to the West. This was what really kicked off all of the hostilities in Ukraine in the first place. It was a U.S.-led coup that was successful and toppled the government of Ukraine all the way to the point of snipers picking off protesters, killing people in Ukraine to get our coup accomplished. And now it's this idea that Russia must be planning a coup, too. How dare they plan a coup to undo the coup that we pulled off about a decade ago? It is unbelievable stuff. Again, I know I've got a lot of new listeners. If you think this is all hate America stuff, it's not. It's just that our foreign policy is run by a bunch of psychopaths. I love this country. I'd like to see us safe and a good friendly trading partner to all of the world and not spending $1 trillion a year that we don't have just stirring stuff up constantly. There's a very big difference about that. My view of foreign policy is not anti-American. It is pro-founding fathers who warned us of all of the activities that we're seeing right now. And unfortunately, conservative and people on the right, myself included, years and years ago through the 1990s or very early 2000s, I believe this was what passed as American leadership, American exceptionalism, these kinds of things that we were entitled because we were the white hat cowboys around the world, keeping the world safe. But boy, that narrative has completely fallen apart in my head, and I think for a lot of people as well. This is not a blame America. This is a blame the psychopaths, the Wall Street warmongers in Washington, D.C. that are always trying to stir stuff up. If you look at maps, if you can find a map, and that's what I was saying, I need something to share visually with people. If you find a map that shows you pipelines, the pipelines that Russia was poised to run through Ukraine when the government there was friendly and cooperative before our coup, you'll understand that Ukraine is largely a pipeline, an energy issue. It has nothing to do with NATO's security, has nothing to do with Russian expansion plans or aggressiveness. This is Western powers who wanted to secure the pipelines and not have to compete with Russia running pipelines through Ukraine to either ports, European countries, any of these things. We've tried to shut Russia out. So it's big oil companies, natural gas companies. It is the elites battling and using our troops and our treasure, sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to protect the profits of people who want to oppose any Russian pipelines or cooperation of running energy from Russia through Ukraine to other places. That's what this is about. Nothing else. It's not a humanitarian thing. It's not a threat to our democracy thing. It's a money thing. Every single one of these things is a money thing, and that's why I do this segment in the first place. I'll be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. And I guess I'm looking through my clip list. I think I'm going to give myself a little bit more time today to look at stuff, particularly with the release? I don't know what we call it. The announcement of the Omicron, the universal con that is the new variant. So we'll do that on this week on the Crazy Train. What's fascinating to me is that it appears that all of this stuff is dying out, that people are really kind of shrugging their shoulders here, and with good reason. Here is when it comes to this, again, I turned on the Today Show today, and of course, the first headlines, the breathless reporting from Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, am I saying her name right? I still don't know, was about this Omicron. variant that's out there. This is actually, let's see, this is one of the health authorities from South Africa. I should play this clip about every 15 minutes for anybody out there who's on the ledge about the new variant. They interviewed a lot of people at the airports, fully masked, talking about how concerned they were. They wanted to stay safe. Here's essentially what we're dealing with. Here's when it comes to this so-called variant.
Overall, patients that was recorded yesterday was 3,000 and around about 3,700. So our positivity rate is 9.2%. It is, yes, it is more than we would have loved it to be. But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. So what we see with this one is, again, it started, normally it will always start with your younger people. So it started with the younger generation, 40 and less. And the most predominant clinical complaint is severe fatigue for 1 or 2 days, with then the headache and the body aches and pain. Some of them will have what they call a scratchy throat.
Oh, the horror!
And some will have a cough, a dry cough, but it's not a constant cough. It comes and goes. And that's more or less the big symptoms that we have seen.
So there you go. This is what all of the uproar is about. This is what the call for more jabs. Biden announced that they're going to open new centers. I always love these ideas where they think that we just don't have enough places. That's the reason Americans aren't getting this shot. The people that are left, those of us in the heroic control group, it's just that it's not convenient enough for it. He's going to get pharmacies staying open all night long and putting new shot centers. Tired for a couple of days, maybe some muscle aches, some headaches for a couple of days, and some people have reported a scratchy throat. That is what the airlines are talking about. Wall Street is melting down over. That's what it is. This was another symptoms report here.
Dr. Anoop Kanodia practices family medicine at Ohio Health and Kanodia MD. He says the symptoms of the Omicron variant differ from symptoms we look for in other COVID strains.
The symptoms are different. So if you're looking for COVID-19 symptoms, alpha, beta, delta, you're going to miss it. These symptoms are sore muscles, tiredness, not feeling well, slight cough.
What?
But here's the difference also. There's no loss of smell or taste. So if you're looking for that loss of smell or taste, you're going to miss the boat.
Kanodia says researchers are seeing people that already had a previous variant of COVID-19 can be reinfected with the new Omicron variant.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. This is what we have lost our collective minds over. Oh, let's see what else we've got here. They have, they're trying to trot out some pills for these things. Really, you know, what I take from those, particularly that doctor there who wants to tell you that, oh, don't look for what you've looked for before. This is something entirely different. I think this is just the setup to go, anytime you feel bad, that's COVID. I must not have COVID because I still have my sense of smell and taste. Nope, still COVID. Everything is COVID. Flus, colds, COVID. It's all COVID. Well, big swing and a miss with one of the pills.
Here's an update on that COVID-19 antiviral pill by Merck. The FDA panel has endorsed the antiviral drug, but the vote was a narrow one, 13 to 10. Ultimately, the panel found that the benefits outweigh its risks, which include potential birth defects if used during pregnancy. Now, the vote was just a recommendation. The FDA is expected to make its final decision before the end of the year.
Ah, poor Merck. Merck needs to hire some better lobbyists, or they need to start shipping out a little bit more money, spreading it out there. They need to go in and poach some of the Pfizer guys that are working double duty. Those guys know what they're doing. I tell you what, I'm going to take a break and come back. You know, some of these places around the world have started taking people to the camps. It's just unbelievable stuff to watch in our formerly sane Western democracies around the world. They are now literally taking people to camps by train, plane, and automobile. Some people aren't having it, though. Got a couple of stories you just, it's hard to believe. These are in one of them from Australia, one of them from Amsterdam. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me.
What's the frequency, can it be shot? Things are dream.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. I am into This Week on the Crazy Train. I believe if I were to go back maybe over the last 18 months and pull all of these Friday clips and put them together, I might be able to put together some kind of an audio documentary of the entire world slipping into madness. It might be kind of an interesting thing to see. It's been somewhat incremental. Took a little while to get people on board to give away all of their rights and to go hysterical over a disease that may or may not cause a scratchy throat, but we're there. And I would imagine it's probably chronologically kind of interesting to do. I may go back and start looking at things again. There have been some people having some fun with it. I haven't seen this. South Park apparently has done some kind of a COVID special. Somebody sent it to me, but YouTube had already pulled it down for a copyright violation. I think I can recommend it to you just from the clips I've seen. This one, if you're at all familiar with South Park, character Kenny is constantly being killed, and he's been killed again.
Excuse me, everyone. Hello, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? We got results from the PNR scan of Dr. McCormick's remains, and we now know the cause of his death. Now, we all need to stay calm. There is no reason to panic. But Kenny died of COVID. It's a new variant. The COVID Delta Plus Rewards Program variant. Everyone, please! We cannot panic!
And they run into the streets. Of course, head straight for the grocery store to start hoarding toilet paper. Unfortunately, it's all too real. What's also real but not so funny, well, I mean, it's almost funny. Some of this stuff is just almost funny. Not for these people involved, but to just think how bizarre the world has gotten. This was Australia. We've reported here a lot on their camps. They call them wellness camps. Doesn't that sound relaxing? Kind of like a spa? Ah, a couple of weeks at the wellness camp. It's got to be good for you, huh? Well, some people apparently didn't think so.
Good morning. We start with breaking news at Darwin, where three people have escaped from the Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility. Talia Sava's there for us. Talia, good morning. There's a search underway right now.
Yes, that's right, Davina. Good morning to you. We've been told the trio scaled the fence in the early hours of this morning. Police receiving reports.
Why would you scale a fence from a wellness camp? They're just there helping you, nursing you. It's got to assume there's manis and pedis and massages. It's just a wellness camp. But apparently people are scaling the walls to get out of there.
Around 4:40 a.m. Now, major police checkpoints have been set up around Howard Springs for the past several hours. As you can see in these pictures, they've been conducting thorough searches in car boots, checking vehicle registrations, cars and buses alike. But in the last half an hour, what we understand is they've actually been dismantled. Exactly why, that hasn't been confirmed. Hopefully good news. We're also not
Oh, yeah, they've dismantled all of the checkpoints. Hopefully good news. They got these three escapees from the wellness camp. This is Australia. Not China, not North Korea, not Hitler's Germany. This is Australia. The news media reporting this just like any other escaped convict coming out of a penitentiary having been found of multiple murders. Three people who escaped from a wellness camp. Well, they've dismantled all the checkpoints. Hopefully that's good news. They got these escapees.
Sure yet who these people are connected with, whether it's a repatriation flight or those Aboriginal community members who have been staying here following the Catherine cluster. Davina, what we do know is that this is definitely going to bring this gold standard facility under intense scrutiny. On Sunday, we had a man escape and found on Darwin's party precinct, and this latest situation is only going to put us under the microscope further.
Yeah, they call this a gold standard facility. I wonder if Hitler had those kinds of words. Auschwitz, gold standard. Top of the line concentration camps. It was not just Australia. This was a report from Amsterdam, I believe.
In Amsterdam, dozens of people are staying at a quarantine hotel. They tested positive after arriving on flights from South Africa, 13 of them infected with Omicron. Now, police have reportedly arrested a couple at the border after they allegedly fled that hotel.
I got to tell you, I don't know if they're getting Yelp reviews on these things, but some people are not satisfied with the level of service they're getting at the well camps and the quarantine hotels. Are those things in our future as well? Well, we have yet to see.
Should we expect to be seeing more lockdowns again, new lockdowns, more mandates?
You know, I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst.
Let me go ahead and tell you, Anthony Fauci. No, there will be no more lockdowns. No more lockdowns. I would imagine maybe it's just red states. Let's see. I've got this clipped as Biden on lockdowns.
President Biden says he does not expect new lockdowns.
If people are vaccinated and wear their masks, there's no need for lockdown.
Oh, gosh. Oh. They are doubling down on all of the things that didn't work the first time around. They're insisting that you do them this time around. And if you don't do those things that were ineffective last time and will be ineffective this time, they're going to force you to lock down. Here is a sick one. Oh, this is a hard one to play. If you're eating anything, take a good gulp, settle your stomach. This is a Michigan public service announcement for the kids' jabs.
Can I ask you a question? Why do you want to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
I don't like getting sick.
The virus will die.
It will be easy to not catch it. Keep my family safe and keep playing soccer.
Because I love being vaccinated.
Oh. What's your hope for everyone?
I hope everybody gets the vaccine.
To keep safe and strong.
Be like happy, having fun everywhere.
Everyone stay safe and hope you get the vaccine.
Oh, that hurts my heart. Now, in this generation, those sound like, what, 4-, 5-, 6-year-olds, 3-year-olds? I don't know. When these kids get older, and we get older, and we look at their generation, and they're just a bunch of hysterical children that cannot cope with life, blame the adults. Blame their parents, not this generation. They are being abused. When it comes to the jabs, you know, we've had a lot of suspicions about this. You know, people said originally when these things rolled out, look, you can go out there all enthusiastically and get your shot. They're not going to give you a free, and they're going to dangle these things in front of you all the time. And then we got news of the booster. Now they're trying to get, I think they said 101 million Americans. They're rolling out facilities to give boosters to 101 million Americans right now because they're 6 months past their last shots. That 6 months, as everybody has suspected, it looks poised to be reduced a tad. This is in the UK.
JCVI published its advice in the last hour. First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved from 6 months to 3 months.
You hear that? You hear that, all of you that are on the vaccine treadmill right now? Not 6 months anymore. This is the UK, but you can imagine it does not take long for it to get over here and come out of the mouth of Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci. We've gone from 6 months down in the UK. Now they're going to 3 months.
Second, that the booster program should be expanded to include all remaining adults aged 18 and above. Third, that these boosters should be offered by age group in a descending order to protect those who are most vulnerable to the virus. So priority will be given to older adults and people over 16 who are at risk. Fourth, that severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received 3 primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose.
3 primary doses and now offered a booster dose. That sounds to me, I guess he didn't want to say the words, a fourth shot. This is the UK, which has shown over the past 6 months at least that the people that are being hospitalized and dying there are majority vaccinated.
Finally, that children aged between 12 and 15 should be given a second dose 12 weeks from the first dose.
12 weeks, that is, for anybody, using my public school math, 3 months. So now they're boosting the children who, again, face zero risk from COVID. They've moved the boosters down from 6 months to 12 weeks. It's actually a little bit shy of 3 months.
I have accepted this advice in full.
Of course.
With this new variant on the offensive, these measures will protect more people more quickly and make us better protected as a nation.
And again, this is for the variant that causes 2 days of being a little sleepy and possibly a scratchy throat. They are going to force these children to take a booster at 12 weeks after their original. Still got more to come on that. We've got clips here from our NIH director. I thought he was leaving. I'm not sure when this guy's term expires. Hopefully the beginning of the year. It's not. It doesn't matter. Another carbon cut out of this guy's coming, but it's this Francis Collins guy who runs the National Institutes of Health. He is one creepy dude. We'll play his clip when we come back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day. As we finish up this week on the crazy train, but I want to remind everybody of one sane choice you can make this weekend. If you're looking for something to do, looking for somewhere to eat, or to pick up food and take it home, check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. Great 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, gelatos, salads, beers and wine. Ton of TVs to watch the games and things like that. It's a great atmosphere to be in, and the food is fantastic. I've said many times, I've been doing some time up there trying to help them with staffing issues, things like that. I have a long, many years in the restaurant industry that I dusted off a little bit to go up there and try to help them out. So if you come in, try to introduce yourself. I'm always interested to meet people that listen to the show. But if you've got a teenager, somebody out there is looking for a job, this is a great job to have. A starting pay is $10 an hour now, so they also get a tip share. So it's a great place. Again, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Good food, good atmosphere. You can check out games. And they've got a great patio out there, too, for outdoor dining as well. Yeah, make sure you download their app. It's the YourPie app. And as you scan your receipts when you go, and you will go a lot if you go once, you can get points for free pizzas and other kinds of goodies. There's double points days, and they have different days during the week that they do other discounts. So anyway, that's Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway Express, your inner pizza. All right, let's see what else we got here. We'll go ahead and do this stuff from Francis Collins. I don't know, there's something really creepy about this guy's vibe. He seems to really, he may be just a complete masochist. He seems to enjoy the pain that he's causing other people. As he seems like he thinks this entire thing, particularly with the new variant, is kind of funny.
So what is it about this variant that has experts so worried?
I think the main thing that
again, we just played the health authorities from South Africa going, this is nothing. A little scratchy throat. You're a little tired. Maybe a headache or two, but it's nothing. The U.S. media, what has you so concerned?
Has us focused on this, and it's caused a lot of us to be sort of 24/7 on Zoom calls for the last 4 days, is that it has so many mutations.
Uh-huh.
Omicron has more than 50 variants that make it different than the original virus, including more than 30 that are in the spike protein. I brought my little model along in case people have forgotten what this looks like.
Oh, goody. He brought visual aids. Oh, this guy's weird. He's on his way out. We'll just get another little Collins clone.
So big picture, Dr. Collins, does this new variant set us back in our efforts to end this pandemic once and for all?
Well, it's certainly not good news. We don't know yet.
It actually is good news. It is good news. They could make this good news if they wanted to. They could come out and go, this thing seems to be mutating down to a common cold. It could be great news if the news media wanted it to become great news, if Americans were ready for any good news, but the hysterics are always looking for everything to be worse.
Yet how much of an impact this will have. It ought to redouble our efforts to use the tools that we have.
What tools are those that were so effective last time around for 2020?
Which are vaccinations and boosters. And to be sure, we're getting those to the rest of the world, too, which the U.S. is doing more than any other country. It also means we need to pay attention to those mitigation strategies
that failed so miserably for the past 18, 20 months.
People are just really sick of, like wearing masks when you're indoors with other people who might not be vaccinated and keeping that social distance issue. I know, America, you're really tired of hearing those things, but the virus is not tired of us, and it's shape-shifting itself. If you imagine we're on a racetrack here, the virus just sort of emerged in a new version, and it's trying to catch up with us, and we have to use every kind of tool in our toolbox to keep that from getting in a situation that makes this worse.
We're all going to die. Oh, boy, that is some tedious stuff right there. And it's, I mean, you know, I don't have clips from it, and I really should have gotten them, but it's almost too aggravating for this clip, for this segment. Fauci was on, was it Face the Nation last week, where he was on and was asked by, I think it was Nora O'Donnell, you know, about all these things. And Fauci's whole thing, people made a lot of points out of it, because he did the thing again where he comes in and says, to question me is to question science. I mean, it was just as arrogant as he could possibly be, but he kept talking about how his entire career and all he was focused on, he didn't care about the slings and arrows against him personally, because those were just ignorant people attacking science when they attacked him. All he's focused on is saving lives. The United States has had the worst COVID outcomes in all of the world, I believe. The worst. Nora O'Donnell didn't ask him that, strangely enough. Why didn't she say, well, I got to tell you, if your whole life is dedicated to saving lives in this time of COVID, big swing and a miss. You have failed. Your entire life means nothing because you've done nothing of the sort. I can't do This Week on the Crazy Train without playing a clip I played in full yesterday, but here's part of it. Jim Cramer, the stock whisperer on CNBC, he's not even good at that. I really should go back and play. I wasn't on air when he had his epic 2008 mental meltdown, screaming for the Federal Reserve to print more money to save the big banks. But he had to weigh in on a totally unrelated field. And Jim Cramer at CNBC has got his ideas on how we should tackle COVID.
Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately, because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common will. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' right issue, the right to get sick and get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing.
Holy cow. Jim Cramer wants to bring the military out to forcibly inoculate the entire country. Whew. I don't know how many of you listened to him for stock advice, but this was, I guess, kind of good news we did have this past week. Kind of funny.
CNN has suspended anchor Chris Cuomo indefinitely. It comes after records showed Cuomo took an active role in helping his brother, the former governor of New York, respond to sexual harassment charges. Records show Cuomo sought information about his brother's accusers using CNN sources and then reported back to his brother's staff at the State House.
Yeah, so Cuomo's out. That was a good one. Rumors are there's going to be a bloodbath at CNN with the major talent as they do a shakeup, so that can't come soon enough. This was Joy Behar on, she's weighing in as a constitutional scholar on The View.
You know, when the founding fathers were busy with the amendments, the First and Second Amendments did not have AR-15s in there, weapons of war, and they didn't have Twitter. So both amendments, I think, need to be tweaked a little bit. You know, I'm a big
fan. That's a whole new conversation.
We make our living on the First Amendment, so we love it. But there's a lot of hate speech and misinformation needs to be dealt with.
Oh, yeah, she loves her First Amendment rights. She's not so fond about anybody who disagrees with her. This was horrible. I wasn't here last Friday. I took a Friday off for the Thanksgiving weekend. But during the parades out there, this is the little skit that was done by Al Roker, just one of the worst, just bootlickers out there.
Wow. Oh, hold on. My phone's ringing. Just a second. Oh, my gosh. Look at who's calling. Oh, hello. Hello, Mr.
Hello,
President.
Hello, Al. How you doing, pal?
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, Dr. Biden and Mr. President, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
How are you? New York firefighter.
That's right. We had a New York firefighter here. And
doesn't that sound like a little kid calling in? New York firefighter. Yeah, we had a firefighter on.
And it's so good for you calling. We thank you so much. What's your message to the American folks on this Thanksgiving Day?
My message is, after 2 years, you're back. America's back. There's nothing we're unable to overcome, Al. And you're one of the reasons for that, pal. You're always up. You're always rooting.
Well, we appreciate it, Mr. President. Thank you so much. I hope you're going to continue to watch the parade. Santa is coming. Santa is coming, Mr. President.
I'm waiting for Santa.
All right. Well, listen, happy Thanksgiving to both of you, from our family to yours. Thank you. Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Wish you're there with you, Al. Nice to see you, pal.
All right.
Thanksgiving.
No, he didn't. Did not one single time mention the vaccine in that entire clip. So that was something right there. Anyway, as I say, I'm going to go back through the last 18 months of Fridays and see if I can document the slow descent and sometimes quick descent into madness that we have seen here in the United States and around the rest of the world. Outside of that, enjoy your own life. Have a good weekend. See you next time.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.